All right, Dean, I appreciate Dean Blevins tweeting me or texting me, helping me out with this. The Thunder did acquire a 30-year-old Polish center named Szymon Szedek. If you get that name in a spelling bee, it's time to go home. The last name has one vowel in eight letters. A lot of Z's. Three Z's. It's the ultimate hangman word. I'm sure Todd Furman is riveted by hearing this information, but the Thunder did receive the rights to him in a trade. Apparently, he played in the 2009 Las Vegas Summer League. Wonder if he...
Did he hang out with you? He won't be moving to futures odds for the Thunder. I'll tell you that much, Mark, right off the top. And no, I did not spend any quality time with him when he was out in Las Vegas in 2009, unfortunately.
Polish B team. What's going on in the casinos? I mean, this is a little bit of a slow time. I mean, you're going to have the 2 days with no professional sports, but I would assume the Home Run Derby would seem like something probably pretty fun to wager on.
The Home Run Derby is the ultimate exercise in sports betting degeneracy. Let's put it that way. But because it is the only event on the calendar that day outside of a few races, maybe at Delaware Park or Philly or some of the lesser-known tracks, people are going to try and bet. And you're looking at basically picking one player, much like the futures board. You pick a couple of guys, and you're entertained for 2-3 hours. But it is the only time of the year where a lot of bookmakers really take a full 3 days off, try and clear their head, because there really is such a limited array of sporting events to bet on.
Is there much action on the All-Star game at all?
The All-Star game, depending on what you have in town with the rest of the casino culture, it'll rival a Sunday night baseball game, but it won't do a whole lot for moving the needle. In my time at Caesars, never was there an All-Star game where we had a sweated decision because it was going to determine the profitability of a particular day. Typically what will happen is the public will come in, they'll want to lay a run and a half with the star-studded lineups. They'll look to go over because they're blinded by the big bats, when in reality the trend has been betting these things under because you have so many talented pitchers. Although the American League may be dealt a big blow with Verlander slated to go Sunday, Yu Darvish on the DL, their pitching staff may not be able to rival what the National League can throw at them.
Yeah, that's kind of tough for the American League, because both of those guys are as good as there are in the American League right now. So let's talk a little NFL. Any teams that you see on the board right now, any totals there that you like over or under?
As far as win totals, a lot of these numbers have settled in. There was strong movement when the prices were first put on the board. On the over on the Miami Dolphins, which opened at 6.5, we're seeing 7.5. With juice to the over as the prevailing price. The Rams took a good amount of action as well. A lot of people believe that Jeff Fisher will turn that 11-5 against the spread record from a year ago into a winning record this season as Sam Bradford continues to mature in that passing game. The one team, futures-wise, though, that I think does have quite a bit of value, I keep coming back to the Cincinnati Bengals, and this price has come down. It was available at 50-1 when the market opened. Now anywhere from 30-40-1. I think they're the most talented team in the AFC North. I'm not a fan of Andy Dalton, but I think them adding a tight end will be able to stretch the middle of the field, take some of those double teams away from A.J. Green, and they may have what I deem the most talented defense in the entire AFC.
And so that's 50-1 to win the Super Bowl or to win the AFC?
No, that's to win the Super Bowl. To win the AFC, the general price you can probably find right now is 20-1 for any of those sports animal listeners that will find themselves in Las Vegas before football kicks off.
I do think that that division is very weak. I mean, I think Baltimore lost a lot to free agency. I think Cleveland, who signed some of the Ravens, took a little bit of a step up, but not enough to compete in that division. And Pittsburgh, wow. I mean, what do they have? I mean, the Steelers, I think, are really, really take a step back this year.
No, you definitely have a changing of the guard. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger looked a step slow. I wasn't that impressed with the way Pittsburgh closed out last season. They didn't do a whole lot. Actually, you lose Mike Wallace in the passing game, and I'm not sure guys like Emmanuel Sanders will be able to step up and fill that void. The Bengals have added to their talent core. I think you make a great point with Cleveland. Obviously, some skepticism for me if Brandon Whedon is the guy there. I think he holds them back a little bit. But they're definitely poised to potentially make a breakthrough, if not this year, next year. But it's a division right there for the taking. And the fact that the Bengals are listed as the third favorite just to win that, me personally, I needed at least 12-5 at +240 to bet them for the division. But I think it's definitely worth a flyer if you believe Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton can take the next step and not get derailed in the first round of the playoffs by the Houston Texans for a third straight year.
Yeah, I think they're the favorite to me. They're the favorite in that division. What do they see in the Dolphins? Just the fact that the rest of that division is kind of weak?
Exactly. You're looking at a team that may benefit from the Patriots kind of coming back to the field, the Jets and Bills, and to a certain extent turmoil. I think the Jets may be better than people imagine this year just because they can't be worse. Buffalo, obviously, some major questions surrounding that quarterback situation with Kevin Cobb and E.J. Manuel. But I think what we're going to see there is a steady dose of C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson, also a first-year head coach in Doug Marrone that's going to have a steep learning curve for himself. Patriots, I mean, last time they played without Tom Brady, they still won 11 games. Now, I know they don't have their five primary offensive weapons, at least in the receiving game going into the season. But I don't see anybody else ready to step up and dethrone them atop that division. What I do think, Mark, is you'll make a lot of money early in the year betting New England Patriot games under the posted total. I think that's where the value will be the first 3 or 4 weeks if books don't adjust.
And that is just because the loss of Welker and Hernandez, and also uncertainty over Gronkowski, or?
Well, you lose all those guys, and I think the Patriots may make a much more concerted effort to run the football. Defensively, they still have a ton of young talent that started to mature as the season went on, showed flashes of brilliance another year in the system. I just feel that they're not going to throw it around 50 to 60 times. They may play a little more ball control. You still have Tom Brady capable of stretching the field, but he's not a spring chicken at this point, and I can't see Belichick letting him take an awful lot of hits.
What did you say the total was on the Rams?
The Rams win total 7.5 with slight juice to the over at this point.
Yeah, I would do that. I think that the Rams played the 49ers very good last year. Went to overtime twice, is that right? I just think that division, you look at it and it seems very top-heavy, but the Rams are going to have the benefit of playing a third-place schedule, which I think helps them quite a bit.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, you make a great point. They took San Francisco to the wire twice, beating them in overtime at home and ending up with a tie for a game in San Francisco. I think with Jeff Fisher having another year in the system, and there clearly had to be a game plan. You know, letting Steven Jackson go to Atlanta, they must know that they want to get a little younger there, try and change the offense up a little bit. I'm curious to see who becomes the real go-to receiver without Danny Amendola. But the reality of it is, Amendola couldn't stay on the field last year for the Rams, and if they can keep Sam Bradford upright, this is one of the more underrated defenses. I think San Francisco and Seattle are going to get all of the headlines. Arizona and the Rams will fly under the radar, and more often than not, it typically bodes well. You look at their schedule, though, the opening 4 weeks for St. Louis, home against Arizona, at Atlanta, at Dallas, and home against San Francisco. If they can go 2-2 through that four-game stretch, this team will be extremely dangerous, and I think they'll be able to make some noise.
How about the AFC South?
It's Houston Texans to win at this point. The Colts seem poised for a regression. The team just defied all the odds a year ago. I mean, every advanced metric said that wasn't a playoff team, let alone a team capable of winning double-digit games. Andrew Luck is going to do great things, but they just don't have the supporting cast, more on the defensive side of the ball than anything else. I'm not in love with Matt Schaub. I'm not in love with the Texans secondary. But you look at Jacksonville and Tennessee, I think these teams are both years away with young quarterbacks. The only thing that's real interesting about the Jaguars, a lot of the professionals jumped on the Jags with that win total posted at 4.5. They bet it as high as 5.5. Now, I'm not sure if they believe this team will be that much better or they think Gus Bradley is going to be a guy to change the culture and suddenly Jacksonville will be remotely relevant in the betting realm.
Yeah, that's risky. I mean, that's a low total, but that's not a real good football team. What is the Colts total?
The Colts total is 8.5 right now.
Yeah, I think that's a guaranteed under for me. I know Luck is good, but they were outgained last year, correct?
They were outgained and they were outscored. I mean, they pretty much defied every normal metric that you look at. I mean, the one thing working in their favor is a favorable opening schedule. Home against Oakland, home against Miami. They go to San Francisco and home against at Jacksonville. They could realistically be 3-1 headed into a home date against Seattle, which may make or break their season. So the Colts have been dealt a favorable hand. It's just you have to figure that there are going to be some losses here. And all those close games that went their way a season ago, they won't be so fortunate in 2013.
Are the Broncos, what's their number right now to win the AFC East? Because I think would have a hard time finding a team that I could pick ahead of them to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Broncos right now are overwhelming favorites to not only win their division, but still to win the Super Bowl. They're listed atop the board at 6-1 to win the Super Bowl, 3-1 to win the AFC. And you look at what they added in the offseason, getting Wes Welker there, another year in the system for Peyton Manning with some of those young receivers, Eric Decker, Demaryius Thomas. They are what we call prohibitive favorites to win their particular division. I mean, the price pretty much approaches absurdity at nearly minus $4. You look at the rest of the field, the Chargers listed as a second favorite. You can get them at 7.5-1, Chiefs behind them at 8-1, and if you're really feeling adventurous, the Oakland Raiders to win their division, 25-1.
Yeah, 25-1. I don't think I have a dollar that I would put on that. Raiders are not going to win that division. But the only concern would be if, you know, you have an injury to Peyton Manning, which everyone was super worried about last year, but he, you know, made it through the entire season and looked good. So,
no, that's definitely the case in the NFL, especially when you're betting such a prohibitive favorite. Even at 6-1 to win the Super Bowl, if Manning were to go down for any extended period of time, Brock Osweiler's not going to give them the same dynamic offensive capabilities that Manning will. And I think that's the one problem when you look at favorites. Favorites typically with a target on their back all season in the NFL aren't always there at the end. And if you're going to look to tie up money for, you know, 8 to 9 months, I think you can find better investments in the Broncos or just approach it from a week-to-week standpoint.
How about the Cowboys?
Cowboys, 8.5 for the win total. A little tricky to figure out exactly how things look there. Jerry Jones doesn't do a whole lot in the offseason. Dallas listed at plus 250 to win the division, which makes them second behind only the Giants, clearly bunched up with the Redskins there. Dallas, just because they're such a public team, you're not going to get good value to bet them in the futures market. I've seen them anywhere in town as low as 22-1, as high as 40-1 offshore.
That surprises me that the Cowboys are ahead of Washington. Is that the way you would have it?
Some of it has to do with Robert Griffin III, and I think as soon as he's 100%, you're going to see that number drop a little bit. I actually have the Redskins as my favorite to win that division. I think the defense will improve. They'll lean heavily on Alfred Morris. I just don't buy the Giants. I think Philadelphia could surprise and steal a few wins there, but I'm not sure they're ready to make the jump from worst to first. In my opinion, at plus 250, you could do a lot worse than betting the Redskins to win what will probably be the most competitive division from top to bottom in the entire NFL this year.
I have no argument with that. What's going on in Vegas this weekend?
You know what? Things are slowing down a little bit as we get into the summer doldrums. The unfortunate part, the weather pattern's been hampered a little bit by some of the forest fires, not only at Mount Charleston, which is about 45 minutes outside the Las Vegas city limits, but also in the surrounding area, Arizona and Colorado. So it's been a little overcast. It does not put a damper on the pool parties, though. Plenty of good seats still available out there.
All right, so this is the weekend to roll into town. You don't have to pay the big bucks to get the cabana?
Oh, you still have to pay big bucks, but big bucks out here is completely relative. I mean, the one good thing, though, in Las Vegas, we don't have to worry about Sharknado. There aren't any sharks flying out of the air. We're safe from that.
Oh, that's awesome. Todd, we will talk to you again next week. I appreciate it.
It is always a pleasure, Mark. Have a great weekend.